It's great to have you here as we start a new week together on God Is. I hope you had an opportunity this weekend to read the Bible and to hear some good, solid teaching from the Word of God. You know, the Bible is very practical and provides for all of us answers that we need to life's questions. It provides all of the solutions to life's problems, and it being the very Word of God tells us precisely everything that God wants us to know. Jump into the Word, live in the Word, read the Word, memorize the Word, pray the Word, be open to the conviction of God in the Word, and think about the Word. Let the very words of God renew your mind every day. And I invite you to return with me now to the Bible and the first chapter of the book of Romans. We're camping out in Romans, and we're looking in depth at four words: power, salvation, faith, and righteousness. Last week we looked at power, and this week we take up the word salvation. But before we get to salvation, let me refresh your memory regarding power, and I will begin by giving it to you again in the Greek. But first, let me reread Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Did you hear the word power? The power of God, writes the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Rome. Greek is the original language of the New Testament, and you need to know the Greek word here for power is dunamis. Dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from this Greek word dunamis. Power. Dunamis. Dynamite. What is the gospel? The gospel is the power, dunamis, of God. And we talked about this. If you weren't with us last week, pop over to the WEZ website and download the free podcast. Karen will be along later with the details of how to do that. So there is a reminder of what the actual word is. It's important for you to know this word is used regularly within the New Testament. I've read every single one of the 120 occurrences, and I can tell you this one word is pivotal in our understanding of who God is and how the gospel works. It's used 120 times and popular in the Gospels, especially Matthew and Mark, in Acts, in all of Paul's letters, in Hebrews. It's a really important word in Hebrews, and in the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. As we get cooking on a Monday, let me just give you a couple of major ways in which the word is used. First, I will show you how Jesus performs his miracles by the power of God. Second, I will show you how the resurrection from the dead for both Jesus and for his followers happens by the power of God. As I do this, keep the word dunamis, power, in mind. In fact, here's what I encourage you to do. I've done this and found it helpful. When you're able to do so, take your Bible and a pencil or pen, and every time the word power appears in the text that I will read for us today, just write the Greek word dunamis over it. You can transliterate it as D-U-N-A-M-I-S. That's D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And the first of these texts is Mark chapter 5 and verse 30. To set that in context, I'll read Mark 5 verses 25 to 30. This is Mark 25 verses 25 to 30. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse, after hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately, the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" The word Jesus used there in verse 30 for power is dunamis. It is his power that goes out from him and impacts the woman such that she is completely healed. Verse 29 says she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Now let's continue over to Mark chapter 6. I want to read verses 1 through 2. This is Mark chapter 6 verses 1 through 2. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astounded, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands?" Now, if you listen carefully, you did not actually hear me say or read the word power. That's right. But guess what English word is the word for power in Mark 6? It's the word miracles. Above the word miracles in your text, you can insert dunamis. Jesus performs his miracles by the power of God, so that miracles is actually the word power in the original language. We can reread the text as, where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such power as these performed by his hands? While we were in Mark chapter 6, drop down to verse 5. This is Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. And Jesus could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Again, you did not hear me read the word power, but you did hear me read the word miracle. Above the English word miracle, put the Greek word dunamis. We can read this as, Jesus could do no power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. By the way, Mark is not saying Jesus is not able to do the miracles, to use his power. He is merely saying Jesus chose not to. Read Mark 6 in its entire context. First, I'm showing you that Jesus performed his miracles by the power of God. And due to the time, I have to move on. But I'm telling you that all throughout the Gospels, the word miracle or the phrase miraculous powers is the word dunamis. And what is the implication of this for Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? The gospel is the power of God, the dunamis of God for salvation. Well, the greatest of all Christ's miracles is the miracle of salvation. Every Christ follower is saved from our sin, and that, my friends, is a miracle. And that miracle, like all of the miracles that Jesus performed, is done by Jesus' power. Every Christian has one miracle that happened in our lives, the miracle, the power of salvation from sin. I hope you see the connection, and remember, we'll dig into the word salvation later this week. Second, I want to show you how the resurrection from the dead for both Jesus and for his followers happens by the power of God. The Apostle Paul really emphasizes this with the Christians in the church at Corinth in both his first and second letters to them. With Easter coming up this Sunday, these texts will have added effect for you today. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. 1 Corinthians 6, 14. The word power there is dunamis. Jesus Christ was crucified dead and then his body laid in the tomb, but God raised him from the dead. He was resurrected. How? By God's power. Likewise, everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins will one day be resurrected, brought back to life and raised from the grave by what? The power of God. Go down to 1 Corinthians 15 and let me read verses 42 and 43. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 to 43. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. It is raised an imperishable body. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. What is Paul saying? Our earthly human bodies are weak. Even the strongest among us is susceptible to illness and dishonor. We're definitely eking out our existence in a perishable body. But, again for the Christ follower, we will be raised in power. The word power is dunamis, the power of God. And finally, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. I told you Paul used this word dunamis associated with the resurrection in both letters to Corinth, so let's see it in this second letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. For indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God. For we also are weak in him, yet we live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. As Jesus lives because of the power, dunamis of God, so too we will live with Jesus because of the power, dunamis of God. As Jesus was resurrected from the dead, so too will Christians be resurrected from the dead to live with Christ Jesus, our Master and Lord. We follow Christ in the resurrection. As Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. And what is the implication of this for Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? The gospel is the power of God, the dunamis of God for salvation. Well, if a person does not believe in the gospel, if a person does not have the power of God transforming his or her life, then that person will not be resurrected to life. that person will not live with Jesus Christ, live with God forever. Rather, that person will be resurrected to the judgment of God and to an eternal separation from God in what the Bible calls hell. No power of God equals no eternal life with God. Romans 1 verse 16 teaches that if you do not have the power of God in you, then you cannot live with God forever. What Paul writes to the church at Rome is reinforced in what he writes to the church at Corinth, and vice versa. What he writes to Corinth is reinforced at Rome and everywhere else. First, I've shown you how Jesus performed his miracles by the power of God. Second, I have shown you how the resurrection from the dead for both Jesus and for his followers happens by the power of God. I am just reinforcing what we learned last week and adding additional proof from the Word of God for the power of God. Power, dunamis, is really significant. I hope you see this in the text and understand something of its implication for our lives together. Friends, as always, I want more time, but I do not often get what I want. And so we'll have to leave the more than 100 other references to power, dunamis, for another time. Before I leave you for today, though, I have a request. Will you be willing to read all of Romans chapter 1? And, in particular, will you focus on verses 16 through 32? That's Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. If you will do so tonight or tomorrow before the broadcast, then you will more easily follow what I have to share with you. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. If you'll take the time to read this, you'll not only understand more of what I have to say tomorrow, but you'll really understand the entire context for everything I will share this week. So please read it, and then join me again tomorrow, for God is...